Okay, good morning. Good morning. This week we are learning Maseches Sota, Daf Chaf Beis. The weekly shir for Maseches Sota is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction and Building Futures. The breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Thega Bas Chaim, Zev Ben David, Sarah Bas Shalom, Chaim Ben Yoshua, and Adil Bas Moshe Yosef. We are in a bit of a stint of Agarta. Baruch Hashem. We got into this because at the end of the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph, we listed off a whole different list of types of people who are not good people. We had a Chassid Shota, a Rasha Arum, an Isha Prusha, Makos Prushim. So that got us onto a tangent of defining who exactly fits these categories. Who is a Chassid Shota we spoke about last week? Who is a Rasha Arum? That was also the topic at the end of last week's Daf on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And the last example of a Rasha Arum is someone who is kara vishana velo shimesh tamidei chachamim. Someone who learns Mikra and they learn Mishnah. So they learn Tanakh and they learn Mishnayos, but they don't learn shimush tamidei chachamim, which Rashi understands to mean that you don't learn the Gemara. So you don't learn the svaras behind the halachos. You learn the Mishnayos, which just has the halacha. You don't learn the reasons behind it, and that could be very dangerous because you're not going to be able to apply it in the appropriate way. So that is the example of a Rasha Arum. It's important to know that there are those Yishonim who explain Vishimesh Veloshimesh Mechachamim the way that we probably would have thought, which is even on the side. The Tosfos Shan says Yesh Mefarshim Veloshimesh Mechachamim Shimush Mamish, that it literally refers to those who they learn Mikra and they learn Mishnah, but they don't assist. They don't help, and they're not Mishamesh the Talmud Chacham. And you can really gain a lot by assisting the Rav and helping him with his errands. You really do glean a lot of the hanhagos from a rav. So there are those Rishonim who explain that literally being shimush tamidei chachamim, but we're going to assume like Rashi that shimush refers to learning Gemara and the svaras behind it. So this week we're going to continue with the how bad it is for someone to be kara vishana velo shimesh tamidei chachamim, learn Mikra and Mishnah, and not to learn the svaras which are in the Gemara. So the Gemara said on top, the second line on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Itmar Kara Vishana Velo Shimish Tamidei Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar Omer Hareze Am Haaretz. That this person who learns Mikra, Mishnah, and not Gemara has the status of an Am Haaretz. That isn't just like a bad name to call someone, like, oh, you're an Am Haaretz. There are halachic implications of being an Am Haaretz. Rashi points out that he's going to be Chashud Al Hamaisros for Al Atairos. He had to be, if you buy produce from an Am Haaretz, someone with that status of an Am Haaretz, you have to be choshed that they didn't take off all the proper trumos and maestros. Some they are mapped to take off and some they are not. You have to be extra careful with what you receive from someone who has the status of an Am Haaretz. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer, Harezeh Bor. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, then he's even worse than an Am Haaretz, he's a Bor. Rashi just says, Gabrume Am Haaretz. There's no deeper halakhic implications. That's just an even worse, an even dirtier name to call someone who doesn't learn the Gemara. Rav Yanai Omer, Harei Zeh Kusi. Rav Yanai says that person has the status of a Kusi, which Rashi points out has even further halakhic implications, that the Gemara assumes in several places that the Kusin were not makbid in halakha, and they had a unique status. So Rashi says, Va'asr le'echol piso v'yeno, you can't even eat their bread and their yayin, you assume it's tan yenom and pasakum. They have a unique status of a kusi, which is has even more halakhic implications. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Omer Harezeh Magosh. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says that this person is considered a magosh. They would call him a mechashef, someone who does kishuf, who does magic and spells, which again is no further halakhic implication, but it's just a name that we would call someone who doesn't understand what they're learning. As Rashi explains, that someone, as the Gemara is going to explain right now, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mistavra Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, it actually fits well what Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov says. He called this guy who learns the Mishnah and Mikra, but he hasn't learned the Svaras HaGemara, that he's considered a magosh, like a mechashef, a magician. The Amri Inchi, as people say, that Ratin Megusha Velo Yada Mai Amar. You see the magician who's doing like real stuff, and he's reciting these incantations, and he has no clue what he's saying. He's just saying Narish Kaip that he knows are going to be the right spell, whatever that means. So Tani Tana, Velo Yada Mai Amar. Similarly, you see these people who learn, and they're saying the halachos because they learned the Mikra and they learned the Mishnah, but they have no clue what they're talking about because they didn't learn the Svaras HaGemara. So that's why he would be considered a Magosh, he would be considered a Mechashe, like he does Kishuf. The Gemara then now quotes a Gemara which we actually had in Maseches Brachos way back on Mem Zayin and Mem Beis. Tana Rabbanan Ezehu Am Ha'aretz. So who has the status of an Am Ha'aretz? As we just explained from Rashi earlier, Am Ha'aretz is Chashad Al Ha'maisros and Al Ha'tayros. You have to assume that he's Tameh and he can make your possessions Tameh. Assume that he's not taking off proper Chumas and Maisros. Tosas points out that there are other halakhic implications as well, that you can include him for Zimun. That was the topic we had in Brachos. Some Am Ha'aretz are so bad that they're even Pasul Le'edus. So it's a machlokas in Rishonim as to what exactly, which type of Am Ha'aretz we're talking about, but they're different madregos of Am Ha'aretz, and this is referring to categorizing one madrega of an Am Ha'aretz. So there's a whole different list of different shitos about who has that status of an Am Ha'aretz. So it's Ezehu Am Ha'aretz, kol she'eno korev kriyashma, shachris va'arvis, beberchosah, divei Rav Meir. Someone who does not recite kriyashma in the morning and at night, with its brachos, that would be considered an Am Ha'aretz. He's not even doing the minimum of Talmud Torah every single day. The Chachamim Omrim, Kol She'eino Meniach Tefillin. And the Chachamim say, it's referring to someone who does not put on Tefillin. And now the Marsha points out, this is referring to somebody who does say Kriyashma. Right, so the first opinion is a guy who does not say Kriyashma. Second opinion is a guy who does say Kriyashma, but does not put on Tefillin. And the Gemara in Brachos says that person is Meir Edes Sheker Ba'atmo. He's reciting the Psukim of Kriyashma, which say to put on tefillin, and he's not personally putting on tefillin, so he's a walking stira. He's saying kriyashma, but not doing the mitzvos included in a kriyashma. So that's very bad. And Benazai Omer, Kol She'ein Lo Tzitzis Bebigdo. But Azazel says that it's a guy who does not wear tzitzis, and the Marsha says the same exact thing. He's saying kriyashma, which includes the mitzvah of tzitzis, but not being mekayim, the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's a stira. He has clearly not taken the mitzvos very seriously. And if you know some Ben Yosef Omer, Kol She'yesh Lo Banim Be'eino Megadlon Lil Mo Torah. So anyone who has children, and he does not teach them, he does not bring them to yeshiva, he doesn't teach them or prepare them to grow up with the ideals of Talmud Torah, that would be considered an Am Ha'aretz. And the Marsha says again that he's reciting Kriyashma every single day, which says Vishinantam Levanecha, that you'll have to teach your children, and he's not doing it. So he's reciting the Psukim, but not doing it. He clearly does not take the Torah very seriously, and therefore you have to be chashud that he didn't take off Maisos and Chumas, etc. He has that status of an Am Ha'aretz. And the Achirim say, as we just said beforehand, who's an Am Ha'aretz? Someone who learns Mikra, and they learn Mishnah, but they don't learn the Svaras HaGemara. That's considered an Am Ha'aretz. He has not taken it very seriously, and therefore he's going to be chashud for not keeping certain halachos. Another opinion is Kara Veloshana Harezeh Bor, that if someone is Kara Veloshana, if he only learns Mikra and not Mishnayos, some say that person is considered a Bor, which is an even lower Madriga of an Am Ha'aretz. And Lo Kara Veloshana, if he didn't learn Mikra and he didn't learn Mishnah, he doesn't learn anything, and he's just talking without knowing any idea what he's talking about. So Allah Vakas of Omer, Vizarati es Bais Yisrael, Vez Bais Yehuda, Zera Adam, Vizara Behema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I created in this world, there are people, and there are Behema people. And this guy, who doesn't learn Mikra, doesn't learn Mishnah, and he tries to act like he knows what he's talking about, he's in the category of a Behema. He doesn't know anything. Those are all the different opinions about who has the status of an Am Ha'aretz. The pasuk then it says, "Yira es Hashem bini va'melech," that you should fear Hashem and you should fear the melech. Ve'im shonim al tisarif, and don't mix yourself up. Don't be involved with the shonim. So who are the shonim? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, elu sheshonim halachos. These are the ones who we had said they learn shona. They learn the Mishnah. They learn the halachos, the basic bottom line halacha, but they don't learn the reasons behind them. You should not get involved with those people because they're going to lead you down the wrong path. The Gemara says, Pshita, isn't it obvious that the word shonim in this pasuk means not to involve yourself with those who learn Mishnah? Tamara says, no. Mao detema shonim bechet. I would have thought the pasuk is telling us you shouldn't hang out with shonim. That's people who do chet multiple times. They repeat averos. Ukir Ravuna, the Amar Ravuna, kevin she'avar adam avera v'shanaba. When somebody does an avera and does it again a second time, v'shanaba, hutrelo, it becomes nasis lo keheter. He treats it as if it's totally mutter. So wait, that maybe it's also Lanter is quoted as saying that when somebody does an avera twice, the Gemara says, it's nasis lo keheter. He views it as if it's totally mutter. And when he does it a third time, says it's also Lanter, it's nasis lo kemitzvah. He has the unique, he actually views it as like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. Not just like, oh, it's like, it's pariv. He views his averos as the right thing when you get so entrenched in the averos. So Mara had a havamina. The pasuk says, don't mix yourself with the shonim. Who are the shonim? We said it's those who learn Mishnah only. We said, isn't that pashut? What else could shonim mean? We said, no, maybe shonim means those who are shonim. They do this averos even a second time. They repeat their averos. Mara says, no, kamash malan. Shonim does not mean people who do multiple averos multiple times. It's referring to those who learn only the Mishnah. Tana hatanaim mevalei haolam. The Tana said that those who are tanaim, those who learn only Mishnah, are mevalei haolam. They ruin the world. There's these lines of Gemara. You know how like they had like the Mishnah Yomi push, and you see all those ads. You have Mishnah Yomi for Seder Nashim is starting. So everyone was like quoting the Gemaras that say how if you learn Mishnah, it's a segula. It's gonna bring. You're gonna be. It's such good to have every single day. No one quoted these Gemaras, which seem to bat. It's not the point. Ray Rothberger just posted a shir about how this is not really bashing Mishnah, so you shouldn't cancel your Mishnah Limud or Mishnah Yomi. But it says it's funny to, you'll see as we read it. It's very funny. So Tana Hatanayim Mevalei Olam, those who learn only Mishnah and not the Svaras, the reason behind the halachos, they are Mevalei Olam, they are ruining the world. How do they Mevalei Olam? The Mara asks, are they actually ruining the world? What's so bad about learning Mishnah? Mara said, "Amaravina shemorin halacha mitoch mishnasam." That they're actually paskening. The problem is to paskin based on the Mishnah without learning the Gemara, which is going to explain the reasons and how to apply it. So Rashi says there are three different issues of paskening from the Mishnah. Number one, you don't know the reason, so you're going to incorrectly apply it to a different context, right? The Mishnah was in one context. You're going to try to apply it to something else without understanding the reasons. You can't apply the halacha to another scenario that comes up. Also, there are many Mishnahs which are a das yachid, which we don't paskin like. You have to know if it's a das yachid or if it's not a das yachid, or if there's a machlokes rishonim or tanaim in the Gemara about that halacha. You have to be aware of the what the Gemara has to say about the Mishnah. So you should not paskin based on the Mishnah. Those are the ones who are mevalei olam, tanya nami hachi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Aren't they really they're good. They're good people. They're creating Yishuva Olam. So Shenemar Halichos Olam Lo. Ella, that they are right, those who learn Mishnah, who learn Halacha every single day, that the world is for them. So isn't that a good thing? Ella Shemorin Halacha, Mitoch Mishnasam, in a Chanami, to learn Mishnah is a great thing. It's Gishmak, but to learn Mishnah and Paskin based on your Mishnayos, which is just the basic halacha without the reasons, that is what is dangerous and can be catastrophic. There is a very Harif Maharsha. I haven't seen such a Harif Maharshas in a long time. The Maharsha, on this line, of those who learn, who are paskening from halacha, from their halacha, they're paskening from the Mishnayos, he says, he applies it to us, not just only for paskening from Mishnayos. He says, Uvedoros halalu, osam shemorin halacha, mitoch shulchan aruch. Those who open up a shulchan aruch. And see, if Aleph says that you can't eat during before davening, then you just paskin based on what you see in the shulchan aruch, just the basic bottom line halacha, those people, harei heim ein yodin ta'am ha'inyan shalkod. I don't know the reason behind that halacha. If you're not going to first learn the Gemara, which is our application of Shimush Tamini Chachamim, they're going to end up having mistakes in their psak, the paskin just from the Shulchan Aruch. The Harei Hein Bechlal Mevalei Olam. The Yesh Ligor Bahen. You should call out people who are paskining, opening up the Shulchan Aruch, because it's just the halacha without the reason. So it's very very harif, very strict about how to paskin. The Pischei Tshuva, however, in Yerodeah, quotes this Maharsha and says that nowadays we have the Magen Avraham, the Shach and the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah. Even we have the Mishnah Berurah who explains the reasons behind the Shulchan Aruch. You're not just reading a halacha. You're reading a halacha, and then the Magen Avraham explains, well, it's because this Gemara says that. Or you have the citations of what the reason is. So perhaps nowadays it's a little different. But Rav Yashiv even brings it even more to nowadays and says he doesn't like when people paskin from those kitzer halacha books. You just open up a book and you say, this is what you should do. I have an issue. This is a rant that I'll say for another time. I have an issue with the English halacha books where they just say a halacha and they're being extra machmir because you don't know who's going to open it up. And the bottom footnotes in Hebrew, they tell you, oh, really, it's a machlokas and really the Ramah is mekel. And it's like, well, I should know if the Ramah is mekel on the top. That's just Adkan, my rant. Ask me later. But so Rabbi Yashav also says, you shouldn't paskin from the kitzer or halacha books. You should understand the reasons or ask a Rav who you think does understand the reasons.
This is a good time to mention Simchas Chavar starting again.
Exactly. Great time to plug. Learning the reasons behind the halacha in Simchas Chavar, and then also still come here. Okay, so that's concluding the Rasha Arum, which we said is a guy who learned Mikra Mishnah and not Gemara, and all the bad things that can happen from paskening in such a way. The Mishnah then said an Isha Prusha, which we're going to explain examples of what that means. An Isha Prusha is ruining the world. A woman who is... who separates herself and is involved in arayos lechora. So the Gemara now says, Tanu Rabbanan, Besula tzal yonis, ve'almana shovavis, ve'katan shalo kalu lo chadashav, harei elu mevalei olam. That these are three people who are also ruining the world. A besula tzal yonis, which is a besula, a woman who davens a lot. We know the problem with that is. Ve'almana shovavis, or an almana who is very neighborly and talks to and speaks with everybody. And this one's very confusing. A katan shalo kalu lo chadashav. A kid who was born prematurely. We have to explain that one. That's also mevale olam. So what are these referring to? So the Gemara says, "Inni, is that true? These things are all bad." Bahama Rav Yochanan, lamanu yiras chet mi besula vekibul schar me almana. We actually learn good things from the besula and the almana. We learn yiras chet mi besula. We learn to be careful about chet from a besula. The Rav Yochanan, shama lahahu besula. Rav Yochanan once heard a besula, he heard a girl. Then naflo aapa that she was davening. The ka'amra, she said, "Ribona shel olam, barasa gan eden ubarasa gehen." Barasa tzadikim ubarasa rishayim. Hashem, you created Gan Eden and tzadikim for Gan Eden and rishayim for Gehenim and yihi ratzon milpanecha shalo yikash lubi b'nei adam. Yihi ratzon, I daven to Hashem that people should not sin by seeing me, that I shouldn't be the reason why these tzadikim become rishayim. So we see how makbid she was in halacha, and she was so careful. She had such a strong yiras chet. So we see good things from the besula. And also, kibul schar me almana. We learn about how you can get the most schar from an almana. Tehahi almana dehavai be kenishta beshevevusa. There was an almana who had a shul in her town close by, and kol yoma hava asya umatzla be midrasha de Rav Yochanan, and she'd go every single day to daven in the base medrash of Rav Yochanan. So Allah, he said to her, "Biti lo beis haknesses v'shivavuseich, isn't there a shul that's closer by? Why do you walk all the way to my base medrash? Isn't there a shul nearby?" So Amalei, she said back to him, "Rebbe, velo schar psios yeshli, don't I get schar psios? Don't I get extra schar for walking to the farther shul?" So we see from the almana how much she loved the schar, so we learn good things from an almana and a besula. So how are these things so bad? So like Mara answers, ki ka'amar kegon yuchni bas retivi. The Mara says, oh, when we say that it's bad, these are people who are ruining the world, we're referring to people who are like yuchni bas retivi. The Gemara then says nothing. Apparently, even throughout, you guys all know who Yochni Bas Retivi is. No, we don't have to. You can just go back through. There's also, apparently, there's nowhere in Chazal, in Midrashim, or Yerushalmis, or Chazal, anywhere that we have, that we actually have a Maisa of what happened. But Rashi tells us a story. Maritzchayes points out there are several places where Rashi is the source for a story, that Rashi seems to have Midrashim that we didn't have. A story about Bruria also. It's like a classic story about Bruria. It's like only in Rashi and Avodah Zarah. So this is another example. The story of Yochni Bas Retivi. So let's just look at Rashi. Almana mechashefa haisa is on the first widest line of Rashi, all the way on the bottom. Kegon yuchni vasu tivi. Almana mechashefa haisa. Okay, she was she did a kishuf magic. Ukshe magia es leidas isha. When it was time for a woman to give birth, haisa utzeres richma b'machshefos. She would prevent the birth from happening with her kishuf. Ula achar shemitzta ares harbe. After the woman was getting in a lot of pain, haisa umeres. Oh, let me go help you. Elich be'evakesh rachamim. Let me go daven for you to help you have a nice comfortable birth. Ulai tishma tfilasi. Maybe Hashem's gonna listen to my tfilos. What would she do? The holaches v'soseres kishafeha. She'd go and she'd stop the spell that she had created. The havar yotze, and the kid would be born. So she would make herself be like this great tzaddikas who I daven to help you when she was the reason why the woman was in distress in the first place. Then ultimately it all fizzled out. Pa machas hayolas chir yom bevesa. There was once a worker who was in her house. V'hi holchol abesa isha herledes. So Yuchni went to the woman who was giving birth, and the worker was still at home. Veshama hasechir kol hakshavim miskashkishim bekli. So he saw like a little jar that was like shaking. That like there was like stuff in the jar that was like moving around. There was the kishuf, apparently, was in the jar. And what did she do? Kemosha, the worker did. Kemosha havad mekashkesh b'mei ha'ein, just like the vlad is moving around. She saw the jar moving around. Upasach es megupas ha'kli. So the worker opened up the kli, and then out came hakshavim yatsu, the kishuf stuff came out. The avlad, no, letting the baby was born. The yadu kibalas kshafim hi. So that was how it all fizzled out. That's quite a mesa. I wish that was somewhere actually in Chazal. But the Baruch Hashem Rashi quoted it for us. So that's what's bad. So do things like that is a bad basula. That's a bad almana. Somebody who's trying. That's the category. A person who's trying to be like, oh hi, I'm amazing. I daven a lot because I'm a tzaddikas. I'm going to help you. But really, there are other things going on behind the scenes, whether it's kishuf or otherwise, that's what would be someone who is mevale ha'olam. There's actually a lot of conversation about whether we learn, how we can learn schar psios from this maisa. The general kasha is, why is there only schar psios by walking to shul? Why is it we don't find that, oh, if you walk to the farther sukkah, you get extra schar for doing the schlep? Why is it dafka by shul? So Rav Schwab in his Mayim Beis HaShoeva and Parshas Balak says that perhaps the source of this concept is from Aliyah L'Regel. We have a mitzvah on the books in the Torah to walk towards the Beis HaMikdash, and there every step is us walking to literally do a mitzvah, and the shul is a mikdash me'at. So specifically to walk to shul, it's akin to Aliyah L'Regel. That's why you would get extra schar for every single step that you do. Asar of Avadja quotes the Tshuva's Torah Lishma that you can't drive. You're not going to get the extra points for driving part. It has to be, you have to actually go for the walk to get some exercise in. You have to park by the corner and then walk to shul, and you get that'll get you your schar psios by the new parking lot. So that's the mitzvah of schar psios. And the kasha they ask from this Gemara is it really a good thing to walk to the farther shul? You're going to pass by one shul and go to the farther shul. Is that a problem of Eima Avir and Al HaMitzvos? You're not supposed to pass by a mitzvah. So some say, oh, well, she was an Isha. She's not Chayev in the mitzvah of Tefillah B'Tzibur, so you can't ask a kasha on her. Okay, fine. The Magen Avram, Paskins for all people, for men included, that if you walk to the farther shul, you'll get extra schar psios. So why is that not a problem of Eima Avirin Al HaMitzvos? So there are several different suggestions brought. Some say that if you would dafka walk through the shul, that would be considered ma'avirin ala mitzvos, but to walk past the shul would not necessarily be a problem. Some say as long as the shul itself has a minyan, that we have places in Chazal where we quote this problem of ma'avirin ala mitzvos, is dafka when you're going to pass by one thing and that thing's not going to have any mitzvah fulfilled by it. The Gemara's example is like you're going to do the karban ha'omer. So you have to go and collect some grain for the karban. So to pass by this sadeh and use another sadeh, that's a problem because the first sadeh is not going to be used for any mitzvah. So when the thing that you're passing is not going to ever do a mitzvah, that's a problem of imavirin on mitzvahs. So if the shul needs you for a minyan and you pass by and without you going, they're not going to have a minyan, they're not going to have the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. So that would be a problem. As long as they have a minyan, there would be no problem. And there's also other reasons you'd want, like if you have like a good reason, like if you have the Shlech Tzibur over there has a nicer voice, or the Rav gives a better drasha, so and you want to hear a Glasser, so you can pass by the tons of shuls you pass by to hear a Glasser's drasha. So if you have some other reason behind, coupled with these other, you know, svaras lahakel, it would not be a problem with the ma'avirin al hamitzvos.
So I guess the case of Sula is also learning Yuchni, just because Yuchni is just a bread. Person.
Right, so I would think so. Right, the way the Maharsha puts it is that Basula was never really a kasha because we understand that some Basulos daven good tefillos and some daven bad tefillos. So the Basula was never really a kasha, and the real kasha was on Almana. So Yochni is the answer to the Almana. I think you could also see that Yochni being an answer for both. But that's what the Maharsha says. So yeah, great point. But yeah, so schar psios, and some say that in a chalani it's a problem to be maver ala mitzvos, but here you're doing it to get extra schar. So to just stam pass over a mitzvah for no reason, that would be a problem. But the chida says if it's for the extra schar psios, that would be okay. So let's go back there. So we had a list of three different things, and the last one was a katan that was born prematurely, shelo kalulo chadashav. So what could that possibly mean, that he's mevale olam? So my katan, shelo kalulo chadashav, hacha targimu zet tamar chacham hamevaet berabosav, is it a tamar chacham who rebels, or literally kicks his rabbanim? So somebody like that, Rashi says that person has the Gemara Chagiga says that he's going to be yamav miskatzrin, he's going to have a shorter life, so that fits into the category of kalulo chadashav, he's going to have a shorter lifespan because he is Mevait, and he rejects his rebellion. Rabbi Abba Omer, Zet Talmud Shalohi Gia Lehora Umore. It's referring to a Talmud who is not yet ready for Rabbanus, and he's still teaching. He doesn't actually know what he needs to know. He's not ready to teach, and he's still teaching. That's someone who's Kalalo Chadashav. He's like a little kid. He doesn't actually know what he's supposed to know, and he's passing anyway. That's Mevali Olam, the Amar Rabbi Avau, Amar Avuna, Amar Rav, Mai Dechsev, Ki Rabim Chalalim Hipila, Ba'atsumim Kol Harugeha. So the Pasuk says, Ki Rabim Chalalim Hipila, that there are many wounded that were Hipila. That's a Talmud Chacham, Shalohi Gia Lehora Umore, a Talmud Chacham who is not ra'i to be teaching, and still he is teaching. That's like the pasuk calls him a nafel, he pila. So that's one bad thing. But atzumim kol harugaha, and all that are killed are atzumim. Rashi has milashon atzum, as if you're closing your mouth. Zet talmid chacham shehigia lehora ve'eno more. A talmid chacham who is higia lehora, and he knows what he has to know, and he's still not teaching. That's also a bad thing. So on both sides of the spectrum, to not know and to teach, or to know and not teach, those are both bad things. I saw the Anaf Yosef on the side of the Ein Yaakov says that's pshadim al chi chachana lefanecha biyodim uvelo yodim. You have the yodim who are sinning because they're not teaching, and the lo yodim who are sinning because they are teaching, when lechora they shouldn't be. That's also what included in Kalu Lo Chadashav. The Mara says, v'ad kama, so until when are you considered ra'i leho ra'a, ad arba'in shenin. Until you're 40 years old. Only someone who's 40 years old should be paskening shailas. Rashi's the basic is 40 years old. Tosa on the very top, Tosa would say, perish mishana shehischil lilmod ad arbaim shana. From the year when you started learning. So if you didn't start learning until you were like 16, so it's only going to be 40 years above that. So not just 40 years old, but it could be 60. Mara says, Inni, is that true? You have to be 40 to paskin? V'harabba ori. Rabba, which Chazal Tavashi quotes that Rabba didn't live past 40. That was, he died when he was 40. So how did he ever paskin? If he was if he was always younger than 40, or even didn't learn for 40 years. So Gemara answers, bishavin. The difference is when they are equal to the other posek in town. So what does that mean? So the way that Rashi understands it is that if you're an equal, then you're allowed to paskin. That Rabba was an equal to the people in his time. Even though he was under 40, he was allowed to paskin because he was an equal. As long as you're an equal, that's okay. To say the other way, that to be equal is not okay. That bishavin, when should you not paskin? That's when you are equal. When you are more than the other person, when you are greater than them, and Rabba was greater than the Talmid Chacham of his time, that's when you are allowed to paskin. So machlokas Rashi Tosfos is shavin when you're allowed to paskin, or shavin you still can't. You have to be greater than equal to the other posek in town. But that's what happened to Rabba. He was either equal to the posek or he was greater than the posek. So therefore, even if he was under 40, he was allowed to paskin because he knew so much more.
I think they all deal
with how not to apply it Lamaisa because it comes up all the time. But it's a good point. They have to figure out how to apply this or how to stim this with what people do, Lemaisa. But yeah, it can come down to Bishavin. It can come down to how you understand Bishavin. Or if you're greater than everybody else, then perhaps it's obvious this person's a gadol. But yeah, in Enoch Nami. Right. Yeah.
When you, on that last part, you know, Talmid Chacham who doesn't provide hora'ah when he should.
Yeah.
So a person who maybe Talmid Chacham, being just a Baal Anav, will not consider himself to be a Talmid Chacham. So when would you have that status?
Right. I guess it's if there's a need that you could fill and you're not because I'm too much of an Anav, then that would be detrimental. When Klal Yisrael could use you, if Rav Shechter said, oh, I'm too much of an Anav, nobody, I don't have to give shiurim everywhere because I'm nothing. So like, if you actually did that, that would be a problem. You have to be able to understand your kochos and use them when they are needed, but still have the anava to realize that you're not a big deal, but you, end of the day, you have what to share with the world, and you should really be using it. But yeah, I don't think every single Talmid Chacham has to open a shul because they're not using their kochos. I think if there's a need, and you're not going to provide your services, I think that would be what's detrimental to Klal Yisrael. And then the last example that we had in our Mishnah of the people who are ruining the world were the Makos Prushin, which are people who are, the way we explain it over there, is that people who are, they're hurting themselves, they're like self-afflicting themselves to look like a great tzaddik, but really they are not. They're just doing it to put on a show. So Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Prushim Hein, there are seven people who are Parush, who are also, they're separating themselves in to look like a tzaddik, but really they're not, they're just doing it to put on a show. And these are the Sheva Prushin Hein, Parush Shichmi, Parush Nikvi, Parush Kizai, Parush Meduchya, Parush Machovasi, Pe'e Sena, Parush Me'ava, Parush Me'ira. Got it? Gemara is going to go through all of them right now. So Gemara lists them off. Parush Shechmi. Who's a Parush Shechmi? So Gemara says, Zeha Ose Maise Shechem. That's like someone who acts like Shechem, which Rashi tells us is somebody who does like Shechem, they perform the Bris Milah, but it was not L'Shem Shemayim. So somebody who does all the proper mitzvot and halachos, but they're doing it to get the kavod. They're doing it so that people should view them and say, ah, that guy's a tzaddik. So that would be a Parush Shechmi, somebody who's acting inappropriately just to put on a show. Like Shechem did. Parush Nikfi, Ze Hamankif Es Raglov. That's somebody who Rashi says he walks in a certain way that it makes it look like he's an Anav. He walks, he puts one foot directly in front. He doesn't take big steps, he takes small steps. He's also kicking his feet against the ground, so he's also like hurting his feet by kicking against the stones, by trying to walk in such a low way. Again, trying to put on a show, and even hurting himself in the process, but really he doesn't actually really feel what he's acting like. And Parosh Kizai, Amar of Nachman by Yitzchok, Zehamak his dam lak his salim. This is somebody who literally makes himself bleed from the walls, which Rashi tells us, somebody who he closes his eyes when he walks down the street in New York City because he doesn't want to look at women. And through that, he's walking into all the stores, and he's walking into a pole, and he walks away bloody because he's trying to be so frum. So when I read this, I read it as like, okay, so don't do that, right? A guy who does that is a parush kizai, and you shouldn't do that, which I think is one way of explaining it. And the Marsha happens to say, for all these things, inherently what they're doing is good, and what's bad is that their kavana is to look like a kavod. So the guy who's taking off his glasses in New York City because he wants people to see him and say, oh, wow, that guy's so frum, so that's the problem. But the Marsha says that for all these things, to do them with the right kavana, and not to be a show-off that people should think you're a tamei chacham, or an anav, or whatever it is. So the Marsha's approach is that these things are actually inherently good things to do. But just not to have the bad kavanos like these people do. So, Liza, you can figure out how you want to apply that. But to be careful about Shemir Shanayim, but not to be a fool that you're walking into walls, is probably agreed upon that you shouldn't go that far. But that's the Parish Kizai. Then you have Parish Meduchya, which is like a pestle, like a hammer. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, the Meshapa Ki Meduchya. Just like the hammer is curved, somebody who's walking with a curved posture, which again is also a way of showing shiflas, of showing anava, but he's doing it to show that he's an anav. When he's really not, that would be a problem. That's a parush meduchya. And then parush machovasi ve'asena. Someone who's a parush and says, what is my job? What do I have to do? And I will do it. That's a bad person. Mara says, really? That's a good thing. Hama yusahi. That's great to say. Tell me what the halacha is. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. That's a great thing. Why is he in the list of people who do bad things? Ella to Amar machovasi suv'e'esana. Now he says, what more could I possibly need to do? Tell me what else I could possibly. I think I already do everything. I'm already doing everything exactly as I'm supposed to do, and I can't possibly do any more because I'm already doing all tayag mitzvot exactly how I'm supposed to do. So that would be a parish, someone who is. Showing themselves to be as if they already do everything right and not looking to improve in any way. And the last two of our seven were Parush Me'ava and Parush Me'yira, which Rashi says Parush Me'ava, that he is being frum, but it's for the purpose of Sechar, for Ava Sechar, to get the reward of the mitzvos. And Parush Me'yira, someone who's avoiding Averos, but not because they want to, but because they're afraid of the punishment that comes along with it. So that's a Parish Me'ava, he's being frum because he wants a schar. Parish Me'ira, he's being frum because he wants to avoid the punishment. So that's a bit controversial. Amalei Abaye v'Rava l'Tana, Abaye and Rava said to this Tana, Lo tisni Parish Me'ava, or Parish Me'ira. Don't list on the list of bad people who are doing things because they want the schar, or because they are afraid of the punishment. No, because the Amar of Yehuda Amarav, as we know, La'olam yasok adam b'torah v'mitzvos, apilu shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. Right, someone who's doing the mitzvos for the schar. They're learning Torah because they want the schar. They even want the kavod, maybe. So if they're doing the mitzvos for inappropriate reasons, that's great. That's fine, because that's going to ultimately lead to balishma. Mitoch shelo lishma, balishma. So don't list the parish me'ava and parish me'ira on this example, on this list of people who are bad, because these are actually things that should be that should be encouraged, because it's going to lead to acting appropriately. You'd have to also change the list of seven things to five things to get rid of those last two. But that's the Gemara says, the old master gobim tarish shalol lishma, mitoch shalol lishma, ba lishma. There's a kasha that Tosfos asks everywhere when this Gemara is quoted, that there are different Gemaras that seem to imply that it's bad to learn shalol lishma. We had a Gemara in Brachas on Yedayin, which says Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. If he learns Torah shelo lishma, or Gemara in Tainis tells us quotes: if you're osik with Torah shelo lishma, nas is lo kisam hamaves. That Torah could be very good, it could be very bad. If you learn Torah shelo lishma, that would be very bad. It's dangerous. It's sam hamaves. So how do we understand when Gemaras like this say you should learn shelo lishma, Torah shelo lishma, balishma, and other Gemaras say that no, it's a terrible thing to do to learn shelo lishma? So the general answer that Tosfos gives is if you're learning Torah shelo lishma because you want the kavod, or because you want the schar, so that's what we'd say is okay. Eventually, ultimately, you'll become a person who is learning shelo lishma, or who is learning lishma for the sake of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's acceptable. And when is it dangerous? When is it detrimental? That's when he's learning al manas lekanter. He's learning just so he can come to the shir and he can ask a kasha and stump the magid shir and be mevaza the Talmud Chacham, to mevaza the Torah, to try to cause negative to people around you. That's what's considered a sam hamaves. That's noach lo shelo nivra. But in general, to learn shelo lishma just for because you want the schar or for other reasons, but you don't do it for the appropriate reasons, that's acceptable, because mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Not only acceptable, but Rav Chaim Volozhiner in his parish Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos says that it's even like what's necessary. It's impossible for someone to just immediately jump to lishma. It's part of what we do. Like, we raise our kids and we give them candies to get them to learn. And as people get older, the incentives just get different. They grow with them. But it's not, you can't start somebody, expect someone to start immediately learning Torah lishma. And that's why it says la'olam. La'olam is that's the way of the world, is to start off shalol lishma and ultimately get to lishma. And to expect someone to start lishma without getting the candies would be an inappropriate thing to expect of somebody. So that's what the Gemara says. It shouldn't list Parash Me'av or Me'ira, because that actually is acceptable according to Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav.
But it still might be important to keep in mind that it could still be poisonous. Just because you have no choice doesn't mean it's like a green light. It's just great.
Right, in Echanami. So yeah, so we have to first understand which Shelo Lishma is poisonous and terrible, and which Shelo Lishma is not so bad that the Gemara says that's okay. So we'll say that to learn a shelo lishma because you want to be mevaza at Torah and to be mekanter and to cause problems and to ask kashas and just to be and raise your hand to stump the rav, so that would be the bad shelo lishma. That's sam hamaves. Never do that. The other shelo lishma, which is for the candy or for the, you get $100 and you pass the bechina, so to do it for like that, that's acceptable because it's going to ultimately lead to lishma. We have to categorize what exactly lo lishma is acceptable. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the Metamra Tamra, Unimegalia Megalia. He says that there are things that are hidden in the world, there are things that are revealed in this world. There are certain things that people do outwardly, things that people do inwardly, that they act a certain way outwardly, but inwardly they are really not good people. And the Bei Din Rabba, the Beis Din HaGadol in Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be list para mehani dechafu gundi. Hashem is going to punish those who are putting on a show. They're putting on a cloak, they're trying to act in a way of anivus, of shiflus, but it's really just a show. So we don't know. Beis Shalmata doesn't know, but Beis Shalmala, Kadosh Baruch Hu, obviously knows, and we'll judge them appropriately. And then a Maisa, before the Gemara, Amala Yani Malka de Lidibite. So Yanai Hamelech told his wife. Yanai Hamelech, we also had in Brachos, where is it in Brachos? Memtes, maybe? That Yanai Hamelech, he killed all the Tamei Chachamim. He killed all the a lot of the Tzvini Chachamim, except for Shimon Shetach, yeah?
Yeah.
Who he was married to his sister.
Yeah.
Right. So he didn't kill his that Tzvini Chacham and his wife, who was also, you know, who was Jewish, not who was his sister. So he killed all of the Rabbanim, and now as Yanai is on his deathbed, he's about to die, so his wife's getting a little nervous. Like, until now I had protectia, that everybody hates Yanai because he killed all these people, all these Rabbanim, but now if he's going to die, so maybe they're going to come and attack me. So he tried to appease her and tell her, don't worry, even after I'm gone, you shouldn't be nervous that people are going to come and try to attack you because of what I did. And he said, Altis Yari Min HaPrushim, don't be afraid from the Prushim, those are the people who are tzaddikim, who do the right thing, because they are tzaddikim. They're not going to want to hurt you, because they're appropriate people. They're not going to want to attack you. V'lomi Misha Enan Prushim, and don't be afraid of the ones who are Enan Prushim, who don't keep halacha, because they're my friends. Those are the ones who are on my side. They also hated the rabbis. So no one to be afraid of. Ela Min HaTzevuim, you have to be afraid of the hypocrites, the ones who act outwardly, they acted like the tzaddikim, they acted like they were the right people, the righteous people, but really on the inside, they were not. People who they act like Prushim, but really they're really on the inside, they are doing Maisa Zimri. They really are bad people, and they're trying to get schar. They're asking from the world to give them kavod because they're pretending like they're good people. Those are ones to be afraid of, because they're going to look like they are tzaddikim, but they're really and they're going to try to, you know, act in that way to harm you. But they're not really the true tzaddik who's not going to want to hurt somebody. So they have like the inward cheshek to hurt people. They don't really want to, but they want to act like they do because they want to act like the tzaddikim. So they're going to want to attack you. Those are the people that Yanai told his wife to be afraid of. What? Yeah. He's helping her categorize. Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's the end of our fun agarta. Let's just start let's do the Mishnah, which we'll continue on to next week's daf. We'll just start the Mishnah on the bottom over here. Rav Shimon Omer Ein Zechus Tola B'Mayim Hamarim. As we already quoted a lot of these things earlier, now we actually see the Mishnah which quotes them. Rav Shimon holds that he doesn't believe that the concept of Zechus Tola is actually correct. That we can't just say that, oh, really, she was Nithma. She really did cheat on her husband, but nothing's going to happen with her when she drinks the waters because she learned Torah. She brought her kids to school, as we said, waited for her husbands who were learning Torah. That's not true. Then the Zechus is not going to prevent the waters from having taken effect. And you shouldn't say that they do. If you do go and you tell everybody that the zechus, that certain merits could prevent or can delay the effects of the mayim hamarim, that the water that she drinks, the meisota, so it's going to have two bad ramifications. Number one, madhe ata es hamayim befnei kol hanashim hashosos. You're going to have even the women who are tameos, who really are guilty, they're still going to drink, because now they're going to say, maybe if I drink, then at least it won't happen right away, so I can put on this, it'll delay for a few years, so at least people will think that nothing happened. So the women who really should be admitting and saying, I really did it, I don't want to have the effects of the water, so I'm just going to tell you right now what happened, prevent erasing the same shemayim, etc., those people are still going to drink, because there's hope that they have a zechus that could delay the effects for several years. And also, motzi atashemra al hatehoros sheshasu. You can have people who were innocent, who drank, and nothing happened. And whereas people would have said, oh, look, she must really be innocent. Now they're going to say, she's not really innocent. Nothing happened because of, she has a certain zechus that was tola for her. So saying that zechus tola, it'll make people who are really guilty want to drink, because maybe they'll get that zechus to delay it a bit. And the women who are drinking because they're really innocent, people are going to see them and think that they're really guilty. And they just have a delay because they have a certain zechus in shemayim for them. So he doesn't like the whole idea of assuming that zechus is tola, right? So she'omrim tameyotain el she'talso ahen zechus. They're going to say, oh, the innocent people, really they are guilty, and they really did cheat on their husbands, and there's nothing happened to them when they drink the water because they have certain zechusim in shemayim. So Shimon, for those reasons, doesn't like the concept of zechus tola. He doesn't agree that that's actually true. Rebbe Omer has zechus tola b'mayim hamarim. Rebbe says no, as we had said before, that zechus is tola b'mayim hamarim. And so if she has certain zechus, she was guilty, if she has certain zechus, it will delay the effects of the waters. She won't get punished right away from the waters. But still, the ena yoledes, right? We say if somebody is innocent and they drink the waters and she really was innocent, then there are certain good things that happen to them. They're gonna, if they couldn't have kids before, they're gonna have kids. And they're gonna look nicer. So the benefits are for sure not gonna happen to the guilty woman who happens to get the zechus to delay for a bit. So she won't have kids. Ena yoledes, she's not gonna magically have the reward of having more children. For ena mishabachas, she won't look more put together. She won't get the benefits of the schar that an innocent woman gets from the drinking. Ella misnavna the holeches lasof hi mesa ba'osa misa. Even if a woman is guilty, and even if she gets the delay of a zechus, she's still going to slowly become in a worse and worse condition, and gradually leads towards dying from the misa that's expected from the mayim ha'marim. So everybody would respond to Rav Shimon, it's not really so bad, because people can tell if she drank and really nothing happened because she has certain zechus. You can tell. You look at her; she's starting to. She's starting to fall apart a little bit as time goes on. So it'll be clear by looking at her, she didn't get the schar of an innocent woman who drank the water and then she's going to have kids. That's not going to happen to her. And if anything, she's going to start slowly get worse and worse condition until she ultimately dies that misa. So it's not just going to be such a motzi shemra if you hold that zechus is tola. The final halacha is the Mishnah says, nitnes minchasa, if the carbon mincha became tameh, so what do you do with it? So it depends on how far you are along in the process. Ashtelo kitcha b'kli, if you have not yet put that karban mincha in the kli sharis in the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't have yet inherent kedusha. So harehi kakol aminachos v'tifte. It doesn't have it's not infused yet with Kedusha, so you can be poda, you can redeem it onto other money, and that the stuff, the ingredients of your chulin, of your mincha, can be just used lechulin. You don't have to burn it. You can just put the money onto something else. It's value onto money, and you can just use that carbon mincha ingredients for a chulin purpose. But im misha kacha bekli harehi kol hamanachos v'tisarif. If they already put that mincha in the kli shareis, so it has kedusha. At that point, you're so far along. At that point, if it becomes tame, then you'd have to burn it. Like all things that you have to. If it the carbon already has kedusha and it became tame, there's no mutter way to use that mincha anymore. It has kedusha, but it's tame, so you can't bring it. So you're stuck. You have to burn it. But if you didn't yet get the kedusha, you could be poda onto money, and then you can use the ingredients lechulin. So we're going to stop here. So today we spoke about the examples of people who they learn Mikra and Mishnah, but they don't learn the Sevaras HaGemara. They have the status of an Am HaAretz. We spoke about the Maisa of the Besula who davened, and he had Yira Shemayim, and the Kibul Schar of the Amana, and the Schar Psios of walking to the further shul. We spoke about Paskening when you have the Koach Lehoros, but not until the age of 40 or 40 years of learning. And we spoke about the 7 different examples of the Prushim, however, to be parish by Avar Miyira could be a good thing. Could be Tosh Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma, and we have the Mishnah which talks about whether the Machlokes, whether we assume that Zechus could be Tolet, could delay the effects of the Mayim Hamarim, or no? That ain't Zechus Tolet the Mayim Hamarim.
Good.